Hello, and welcome to our Good Friday meditation as we reflect on the death of the Lord Jesus Christ in music and in words. We begin by listening to Elegy, played by Danielle Morris.
Let us pray. God sent his Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved. Let us therefore pray to our Heavenly Father for people everywhere according to their need. For the Church of God throughout the world, for those preparing for baptism, and for all who suffer for the sake of Christ, that God will confirm his people in faith, strengthen them in love, and preserve them in peace. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Almighty and everlasting God, by your Spirit the whole body of the Church is governed and sanctified. Hear the prayers we offer for all your faithful people, that in their vocation and ministry each may serve you in holiness and truth to the glory of your name. Through Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen. For the nations of the world and their leaders, for our own country and those who have given us, and for all who work for reconciliation, that by God's help we may live in justice, peace and freedom, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. God of peace, whose will is to restore all things, in your beloved Son, the King of all, govern the hearts and minds of those in authority, and bring the families of the nations divided and torn apart by the ravages of sin, to be subject to his just and gentle rule, who is alive and reigns with you, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever. Amen. For God's covenant people Israel, whom he called to be his own, and for all who seek to live by the light of God's truth, that with them God will grant us grace to live in faithfulness and to grow in the love of his name, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Eternal God, bless all who look to Abraham as the father of faith. Set us free from prejudice, blindness, and hardness of heart, that in accordance with your will and guided by your truth, our life together may be for the glory of your name. We ask this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. For all who lack faith, and for those who are hostile to it, that God will open their heart to the truth and lead them to faith and obedience. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. God, our Redeemer, who called your church to witness that you were in Christ reconciling the world to yourself, help us so to proclaim the good news of your love, that all who hear it may be reconciled to you, through him who died for us and rose again, and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever. Amen. For all who suffer, for victims of violence, injustice and abuse, for the lonely, the bereaved, and those without hope, for the sick, the dying, and all who care for them, that in his mercy God will sustain them with the knowledge of his presence, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Gracious God, the comfort of all who sorrow, the strength of all who suffer, hear the prayers of your children who cry out to you in their need. In their affliction, show them your mercy, and give us, we pray, the strength to serve them for the sake of him who suffered for us, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Remembering those who have died, all whose lives have ended in loneliness, and all who have offered their lives for the sake of others, and remembering the saints and martyrs of every generation, that we also, inspired by their example, may have grace to glorify Christ, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Almighty and everlasting God, whose Son, Jesus Christ, is the resurrection and the life, set his passion, cross and death between your judgment and our souls, now and in the hour of our death, and bring us with the whole creation to the light and glory of your kingdom, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. As our Saviour taught his disciples, we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. The Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to the Gospel of John, chapter 18, verses 1 through to chapter 19, verse 42. When he had finished praying, Jesus left with his disciples and crossed the Kidron Valley. On the other side there was a garden, and he and his disciples went into it. Now Judas, who betrayed him, knew the place, because Jesus had often met there with his disciples. So Judas came to the garden, guiding a detachment of soldiers and some officials from the chief priests and the Pharisees. They were carrying torches, lanterns, and weapons. Jesus, knowing all that was going to happen to him, went out and asked them, "Who is it you want?" "Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "I am he," Jesus said. And Judas the betrayer was standing there with them. When Jesus said, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. Again he asked them, "Who is it you want?" "Jesus of Nazareth," they said. Jesus answered, "I told you that I am he. If you are looking for me, then let these men go." This happened that the words he had spoken would be fulfilled. "I have not lost one of those you gave me." Then Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant, cutting off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Jesus commanded Peter, "Put your sword away. Shall I not drink the cup the Father has given me?" Then the detachment of soldiers, with its commander and the Jewish officials, arrested Jesus. They bound him and brought him first to Annas, who was the father-in-law of Cleopas, the high priest that year. Caiaphas was the one who had advised the Jewish leaders that it would be good if one man died for the people.
Simon Peter and another disciple were following Jesus. Because this disciple was known to the high priest, he went with Jesus into the high priest's courtyard, but Peter had to wait outside at the door. The other disciple, who was known to the high priest, came back, spoke to the servant girl on duty there, and brought Peter in. "You aren't one of this man's disciples too, are you?" she asked Peter. He replied, "I am not." It was cold, and the servants and officials stood around a fire they had made to keep warm. Peter also was standing with them, warming himself. Meanwhile, the high priest questioned Jesus about his disciples and his teaching. "I have spoken openly to the world," Jesus replied. "I always taught in synagogues or at the temple, where all the Jews came together. I said nothing in secret. Why question me? Ask those who heard me. Surely they know what I said." When Jesus said this, one of the officials nearby slapped him in the face. "Is this the way you answer the high priest?" he demanded. "If I said something wrong," Jesus replied, "testify as to what is wrong. But if I spoke the truth, why did you strike me?" Then Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. Meanwhile, Simon Peter was still standing there warming himself. So they asked him, "You aren't one of the disciples too, are you?" He denied it, saying, "I am not." One of the high priest's servants, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, challenged him, "Didn't I see you with him in the garden?" Again, Peter denied it. And at that moment, a rooster began to crow.
Then the Jewish leaders took Jesus from Caiaphas to the palace of the Roman governor. By now, it was early morning, and to avoid a ceremonial uncleanness, they did not enter the palace, because they wanted to be able to eat the Passover. So Pilate came out to them and asked, "What charges are you bringing against this man?" "If he were not a criminal," they replied, "would we not have handed him over to you?" Pilate said, "Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law." "But we have no right to execute anyone," they objected. This took place to fulfill what Jesus had said about the kind of death he was going to die. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus and asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" "Is that your own idea?" Jesus asked. "Or did others talk to you about me?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied. Your own people and chief priests handed you over to me. What is it you've done?" Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place." "You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." "What is truth?" retorted Pilate. With this, he went out again to the Jews gathered there and said, "I find no basis for a charge against him. But it is your custom for me to release to you one prisoner at the time of the Passover. Do you want me to release the King of the Jews?" They shouted back, "No, not him. Give us Barabbas." Now Barabbas had taken part in an uprising.
Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. The soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They clothed him in a purple robe and went up to him again and again, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they slapped him in the face. Once more Pilate came out and said to the Jews gathered there, "Look, I am bringing him out to you to let you know that I find no basis for a charge against him." When Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, Pilate said to them, "Here is the man." As soon as the chief priests and their officials saw him, they shouted, "Crucify! Crucify!" But Pilate answered, "You take him and crucify him. As for me, I find no basis for a charge against him." The Jewish leaders insisted, "We have a law, and according to that law he must die, because he claimed to be the Son of God." When Pilate heard this, he was even more afraid, and he went back inside the palace. "Where do you come from?" he asked Jesus, but Jesus gave him no answer. "Do you refuse to speak to me?" Pilate said. "Don't you realize I have power either to free you or to crucify you?" Jesus answered, "You would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin." From then on, Pilate tried to set Jesus free, but the Jewish leaders kept shouting, "If you let this man go, you are no friend of Caesar. Anyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar." When Pilate heard this, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judge's seat at a place known as the stone pavement, which in Aramaic is Gabbatha. It was the day of preparation of the Passover. It was about noon. "Here is your king," Pilate said to the Jews, but they shouted, "Take him away, take him away, crucify him." "Shall I crucify your king?" Pilate asked. "We have no king but Caesar," the chief priests answered. Finally, Pilate handed him over to them to be crucified.
So the soldiers took charge of Jesus. Carrying his own cross, he went out to the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on each side, and Jesus in the middle. Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened to the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this sign, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and the sign was written in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. The chief priests of the Jews protested to Pilate, "Do not write King of the Jews, but this man claimed to be the King of the Jews." Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes, dividing them into four shares, one for each of them, with the undergarment remaining. This garment was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. "Let's not tear it," they said to one another. "Let's decide by lot who will get it." This happened that the scripture might be fulfilled that said, "They divided my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment." So this is what the soldiers did. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother."
Later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Now it was a day of preparation, and the next day was to be a special Sabbath. Because the Jewish leaders did not want the bodies left on the crosses during the Sabbath, they asked Pilate to have the legs broken and the bodies taken down. The soldiers therefore came and broke the legs of the first man who had been crucified with Jesus, and then those of the other. But when they came to Jesus and found that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, bringing a sudden flow of blood and water. The man who saw it has given testimony, and his testimony is true. He knows that he tells the truth, and he testifies so that you also may believe. These things happened so that the scripture would be fulfilled, "Not one of his bones will be broken." And as another scripture says, "They will look on the one they have pierced." Later, Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. Now Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly because he feared the Jewish leaders. With Pilate's permission, he came and took the body away. He was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who earlier had visited Jesus at night. Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds. Taking Jesus' body, the two of them wrapped it with the spices in strips of linen. This was in accordance with Jewish burial customs. At the place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb in which no one had ever been laid. Because it was a Jewish day of preparation, and since the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there.
The crucifixion of Jesus was marked by a mixture of wickedness and weakness in the people involved. Some knew exactly what they were about. Others just seemed to be carried along by circumstances, unable to do what they knew in their hearts was right. In amongst them all, there was one man who could have put a stop to it. Pilate was the Roman governor. He alone could authorize the execution. As we listen to the story and the accounts in the other Gospels, we see how he too is overwhelmed by contradictory messages and the responsibilities of his position. He rapidly realizes that Jesus is innocent. He wants to release him, but is faced with the clamor of the Jewish leaders. Everything he hears and sees adds to his agitation and his sense that this is something momentous. The words of Jesus about truth make him question, what is truth? His wife warns him, "Have nothing to do with that innocent man, for today I have suffered a great deal because of a dream about him." The Jewish leaders say he has to die because he claimed to be the Son of God. That only adds to his anguish. What if he is? But in the end, the power does not lie with Pilate. "You would have no power over me unless it had been given you from above," says Jesus. Pilate all the more wants to release him. He wriggles this way and that. Would they be content with a flogging? Would the people overrule their leaders if they were given a choice, Jesus or a known bandit? But there's no way to evade the issue. He gives orders for Jesus to be crucified. But his last act is one of great and unusual solemnity. He washes his hands and claims innocence. Let the guilt be on those who clamoured for Jesus' death. Jesus spoke the truth. You have no power over this situation. All the power was in the hands of Jesus himself and the Father. "Don't you think I could summon legions of angels to come to my aid?" he asked his disciples. The mocking words from the impenitent thief were more true than he could have known. He saved others. He cannot save himself. Not without abandoning all that he came for, to die, the just for the unjust, to reconcile us to God. And if he has taken this immense step to win our hearts and souls, will he not continue to woo us? Even as we trample his love beneath our feet, he rises again to seek us. Even as the tears are on his face and the blood is seeping from his wounds, his arms are open to welcome us, enfold us, and bring us home.
Love lies.
Most merciful God, who by the death and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, delivered and saved the world, grant that by faith in him who suffered on the cross, we may triumph in the power of his victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you for sharing in our Good Friday reflection. Readings were by Jackie Belfield and Jill Clayton. The meditation was written and read by Pete Wildman. The cello music was Elegy by Adam Hurst, played by Danielle Morris. Love Lies Bleeding was written and played by Pete Wildman and sung by Amy Seafelt. Beneath the Cross of Jesus was written by Kristin Getty and played by the Wirral New Song Cafe Band. As Jesus rested in the tomb, may we rest in him as we wait expectantly for the day of resurrection.